Hi, this is Matt Gauntlett, and in this episode, AADL talks to Cindy Williams. Actress, writer, and producer Cindy Williams is one of the most recognizable names and faces of 1970s and 1980s television. Best known for her starring role in the hit TV show Laverne and Shirley, she also had lead roles in such iconic films as American Graffiti and Francis Ford Coppola's The Conversation. While millions have been entertained by her good-natured personality and comedy antics, she has rarely spoken about her life in entertainment and how she came to star in one of the most popular shows of all time. Cindy took a few minutes to speak with librarian Aaron Helmrich before her presentation here at the Ann Arbor District Library.
So my first question was just, I know you were here recently back in the spring for Nonsense at Meadowbrook, and you've been there in the past,
right.
I think back in 09.
Uh-huh, and
A few times.
Yes.
Do you have any memories or anything about Michigan, or have you had any opportunities to go down to Detroit and any of the new restaurants or any of the stuff happening down there?
Oh, downtown is great. It's just beautiful the way they're putting it back together.
Yeah.
I mean, really nice. And I love Michigan.
Yeah.
I love everything about it. The snow and... Well, this is the first time, actually, I'm experiencing summer.
Oh, and it's, yeah,
yes,
good time to be here.
And I must say, you Michiganians keep it colder indoors than we do in California.
Yeah, I imagine.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Well, have you been reading the recent things about how they discovered that the thermostats in buildings were set by men's thermal body temperatures back in the 50s and 60s? They've been doing studies.
Yeah,
and that's why so many women are cold all the time, because it's been set
at
something very specific from men's body, you know, metabolism.
Isn't that interesting?
So maybe Michigan needs to get on.
That makes sense. And then there's NBC in Hollywood, which is like 45 degrees at all times.
I hear about that. Well, because I watched your interview on today, so but that was in New York. Do they keep them as cold there?
No.
That's good.
No.
So, also question, you said you love Michigan. You're exactly the same age as my parents, and I read that you grew up watching and loving Soupy Sales, and they were huge fans, would rush home. He filmed in Detroit at the beginning of his career. He did Lunchtime with Soupy in Detroit in 1953, and then it went national in 55. So, I was just curious if you could talk about him. I know that you're a friend who was on Pee-wee's Playhouse, you know, and he was a huge influence to a lot of actors and comedians, you know, when they were younger.
Well, you know, White Fang and Black Tooth.
Yep.
Oh, I don't know. There was something so marvelous about him. He was just, innuendo included.
We were talking about that earlier.
But so much wonderful, happy energy. And that's why kids and adults loved him. And I would try and imitate him physically, and the rhythm of the play, you know, the rhythm of the dialogue, and just the fun and mirth they had.
Well, and I also discovered, I didn't realize he hosted in a show at night as well, frequently with jazz musicians. So he was kind of playing both sides at the same time, which is really interesting.
Was it a stage show or
it was filmed in Detroit as
well. Oh, but it was filmed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it was called Soups On.
I would love to have seen that.
Jazz clubs down in the city, and so that's really great, because he's, you know, my
you know,
parents
he's
went
like
to see
a
him
pioneer, a quiet. Although that's kind of opposite of what he was, but because he was so verbose and loud in such a wonderful, wonderful way. But he was just like the quiet, unsung pioneer of that wonderful comedy. And I don't want to say in your face,
because
you were with him. You know, he never really made a joke of anyone but himself.
Right.
He never made fun of people. It was always jokes on him.
Yeah.
Till the end.
Right. No, I know. So I had a question, too. I discovered that you co-produced The Father of the Bride and the sequel.
Yes.
Films, and those are some of my favorites. And I always love the character Frank. And then I also am a fan of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and discovered that he was probably based on Kevin Lee, who's like a florist and wedding planner for the stars.
Oh.
So have you, it looks from your face, it looks like you've never met Kevin Lee.
No, never.
It was an interesting little thing. He doesn't seem to have minded it, and he's doing quite well now. So.
Well, God bless him.
I did have a question. I was a huge fan of Mork and Mindy, and actually just went to Boulder on vacation and sought out the house and everything they used for the exterior. Did you ever get to work with Robin Williams, or did Shirley have any scenes?
No, I know Penny did a crossover onto Mork and Mindy,
yeah.
But I didn't. However, way before Robin was Robin, they had him on the new Laugh-In.
Oh, okay.
They had him on the new Laugh-In.
Okay.
And they had me do the news report. And they had Robin, they told me that Robin was going, you know, there was this new comedian, and would I mind if he, you know, came on? I said, absolutely not. And he came on behind me while I was trying to read this news report. And I had never, you know, experienced anything quite like it.
Right.
It was like Soupy Sales on steroids. And he was marvelous.
Yeah.
And he just did all these wonderful things. And throughout the years, I would always see Robin. And I would always say to him, and no one gets this, but I'd see him because it was like a college campus mm-hmm. on the Paramount lot
okay.
because we had Mork and Mindy, Taxi, Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, and numerous, you know, Bosom Buddies, numerous
yeah.
other wonderful shows.
Yeah.
So I was coming off the soundstage one day and I saw Robin and I said, hey, Robin. And he looked around and said, oh, Cindy. And I said, yeah, it's just you, me, and Esther. And no, he never got it. But my reference was, it was like a joke, Esther Williams.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're the Williams
yes,
in show business.
Right.
And then sometimes I'd say, hey, Robin, it's just you, me, and Anson. And he'd always nod and go, oh, yeah, yeah. He never got the joke.
That's funny.
But it was funny. It was my, like,
yeah,
little joke
yeah.
with him. But so sweet. And then I, you know, I'd see him throughout the years. And one time I was invited to George Lucas. Myself and my family were invited to George Lucas's 50th birthday. I started to say wedding anniversary, which it could be at this point in my life. And Robin, of course, was there. And so my kids, you know, were young. And he had his back to me, and he was going through his backpack by a popcorn machine. And I had one kid on each side of me, Emily and Zach. And I said, hey, Robin. And he turned around. I said, it's just you, me, and Esther. And he said, oh. And my kids said, oh, my mom, it's Mrs. Doubtfire. And he immediately said, oh, hello, children. Oh, aren't you lovely? Lovely couple of children. And he went right into Mrs. Doubtfire with them. And that's the kind of guy
yeah.
he was. And my children have never forgotten that. Of course, they're in their 50s.
Yeah.
No, they're, you know, they're much older
yeah.
now. But they've
yeah.
never forgotten that. And that's just the kind of person he was.
Well, I grew up in San Francisco, and I had a friend whose dad was a taxi driver and had had him in his car a few times. And everyone that lived in the city that had any just average encounters, just what a nice,
loved him.
Wonderful person.
Wonderful,
and
wonderful.
You know, they loved him in the city, in the Bay Area. He was so beloved up there. Speaking of which, I had a quick question about the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any memories of what it was like to film in Union Square, you know, those scenes? I mean, any special ones? Because that was my favorite, one of my favorite places in the city that we would go and just sit and people watch.
Me too. I just loved it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just has its own life to it, doesn't it? It's just this wonderful vibration.
Yeah.
And it was thrilling to film there. When, you know, I don't know if who in the audience has seen the conversation or not, but the opening shot is just brilliant. And Francis Coppola, who wrote it and directed
mm-hmm.
it, the brilliant Francis Coppola,
yeah.
the operatic, magnificent Francis Coppola, went to each of the background players, each of the background actors, and gave them quietly, so no one else could hear, a conversation to be having during that whole first scene. So if you watch it, it's just, you don't know where to look. It's so interesting.
It is really. That's, yeah. I mean, it's such an interesting film anyway, especially looking back on it now with all of our issues with privacy and, you know, surveillance, you know, just how sort of
an assumption
advanced it was. Yeah.
And also assumption of people.
Right. So I want to squeeze in my one extremely personal but odd question about Carmine.
Go,
I have a
Aaron.
Very specific memory of the show. I've asked several people. I've looked online everywhere. I remembered that Carmine had a gag that he frequently couldn't drink out of his cans, or he would drip water. And by your face, I think I might have made it up because I have this memory that that was like a long-running gag on the show.
No.
No.
No,
okay.
Unless I missed it.
No. Well, now I'm motivated I missed to it. Go no, back really. And watch. Now I'm motivated.
He might have done it on one show where he dribbled, you know, but I don't think we had many cans.
Yeah, that's
back,
funny.
Back then.
Even
you
with
know,
the
it was
Pepsi
in bottles.
And the milk.
Yeah, it wasn't in cans. It was in
okay.
bottles.
Okay.
So I don't know, but I know he was just wonderfully funny,
yeah.
and it could have been something
Absolutely.
He did.
And you managed, I mean, you must be good friends. Is that how you've continued to work together?
Great friends, yeah. He's like family.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'd say that about me.
Yeah.
And we've done many, many plays together and musicals. And we're about to go to camp. We just finished one in Rochester, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
At the Meadowbrook Theater, we did Meshuggah Nuns,
okay.
which was a lot of fun.
Yep.
And then in April, we're going to the new theater in Kansas City to do Beau Geste,
okay.
and which is a farce, a big comedy. And we're looking forward
oh,
to that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
My last question. When I was just, you know, watching your interviews and whatnot, I know there was a period of time when you were going to go to Portland, Oregon and become a waitress. Just curious what the fascination was now. And it's such a great town if you actually spend any time there or have gone to Portland.
Actually, I lived there for a couple of years.
Okay.
But way after this, when I was going to move there. Yeah, my and it was actually Eugene,
okay.
Because my career just suffered this, like, 2 years of, you know, just very little work. And so I thought, I need to go out and regroup. And I had been in a film that Jack Nicholson directed with Bruce Dern called Drive, He Said, and Karen Black. And I had just played the manager's girlfriend who just watches a basket being made, you know, a basket being shot. And but I loved, he shot it in Eugene, Oregon. And I fell in love with that town. It's much like Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
When I was coming through Ann Arbor to come here today, I thought, this is like Eugene, Oregon. It was just this lovely university town. And I had had such a wonderful time there that, as I said, when I suffered this 2 year, you know, dry spell, I just wanted to go to Eugene, Oregon and wait tables and for a year and then maybe come back into Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, interesting, because I think Eugene was in the movie Wild. I think that's where she ends up dirty after having hiked for many miles. So that was it as far as questions. Thank
really?
You. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We just wanted to
do
a little
you,
snippling.
Erin.
Thank you very much.
Well, it was just great.
Good.
You're a wonderful interviewer.
Thank you. I'm a librarian, so I had to do
Are
a lot
you?
Of research. That's always my
Well,
MO.
You're the gal to do it then.
To learn more about Cindy Williams, visit www.thisiscindywilliams.com. Music for this episode was Reality Check by Jeff Wall, which you can find in the AADL catalog by going to aadl.org/magnatune. AADL Talks to Cindy Williams is a production of the Ann Arbor District Library.